America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Monday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day. We appreciate you. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080 AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080 AM The Fan, we thank you. We love you. And boy, we have so much to get to. We have a lot that is going to pour into tomorrow, both on the college football and NFL slate. But on the NFL slate, there was actually a little bit more I wanted to get into in relation to what Will and I talked about on Friday about games that really mattered for some teams. First of all, being the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers.
That's why.
Playing in the Monsoon Bowl.
Yeah, I love the, was it Aaron Glenn, defense coordinator
yes.
for the
trying to
Lions.
Keep the sheets clean.
Oh my gosh, his glasses, those are great. It's fantastic.
No, it was not a pretty game, but you would expect perhaps maybe the Lions, who play indoors, to maybe be a little bit more bothered. They were not. They were not bothered. They were a absolute unit as they used the... They are becoming the modern era Stanford of, hey, we're going to line up. You're going to line up. We're going to kick you in the teeth and then stomp on your chest. And then we're going to walk out with a win.
There was one thing that was broken this weekend regarding to the Lions. The Titans won.
Yes, they won.
The Titans won. The first team to win a game after playing the Detroit Lions. And all it took was them playing the New England Patriots. Mm. But this Lions team, I think that what translates indoors, outdoors, it doesn't matter. It's their identity. It's who they are. I mean, they are not a soft indoor team. They are breaking that mold of teams that play indoor. They tend to be soft. They can't adapt to the elements. The style of the play on both sides of the football, it translates to indoors or outdoors. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary proposition because this team, they're playing on another level right now. And it doesn't have to be clean. We've seen Jared Goff play one of his worst games the previous week, and they still win. Like, you still find a damn way to win a football game when it doesn't have to be pretty and you are dominant. That is a sign of a great team.
Look, I know Jordan Love is playing with some knocks, but remind me, which of these teams is the one that practices and plays in the elements all the time?
Yeah, Green Bay.
Why was it the Detroit team that wasn't playing with the greased up deaf guy football?
Yeah, right?
Jordan Love, like, look, center had a little bit of an issue keeping that thing on target, but Was it? Who was on the broadcast? That wasn't Brady, was it?
Yeah.
It was Brady. Brady. No, he brought it up. He goes, look, if your center is snapping the ball off to the side over and over again, you just got to put your body in front of it like a bleeping shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Quit putting your drop foot back behind you if you're going to be in shotgun, and make sure that ball doesn't squirt away from you, because it kept squirting away from Jordan Love.
Yeah, that's frustrating as a coach, because you know that as a quarterback in the National Football League especially, like, that's a high school thing, right? You're having to coach that and teach that. This is something that you shouldn't be having to teach right now. And those are the little things that are going to bite this Green Bay team, right? I'm not out on Green Bay by any stretch. Yeah, you lost by double digits to the Lions. They are a buzzsaw right now. Mm-hmm. And they're going to continue to churn out wins week in and week out. I think that it also was more of a statement game for Detroit than it was for Green Bay, because of the fact that you're going outside, adverse conditions, division game, a tight division. You see the Vikings are having a little bit of showing blood.
Mm-hmm.
They show a little bit of weakness, and they're pouncing on it right now.
Yep. And that was why we highlighted this game as who needs this more kind of a game, because you could argue that the Packers maybe needed it more to keep pace, but the Lions being able to just grab a hold, the chokehold now of the division as the Bears fall, the Packers fall,
mm-hmm.
You're starting to see the separation in the division. The other thing I thought was interesting is, this is a Packers team that not only struggled with the wetness, the moisture, but did you see Christian Watson lose the ball
mm-hmm.
multiple times up in the swirling winds? The Jared Goff and the Lions didn't.
They only threw for 145 yards, though. I mean, like, and that's the thing. You look at Goff the last 2 weeks, Jared Goff has only had to throw for 230 yards mm-hmm. to win.
Just taking care of business.
And win impressively. Like, week prior against Tennessee, it was your special teams mm-hmm. just absolutely going off, giving you short fields. He still wasn't crisp by any measure, but you're looking at throws for 145 yards in this game, and it was
only took one sack.
All we need to do is lean on our dominant offensive line, mm-hmm. and that's the key. I mean, that is what Detroit has, and this is why they translate that Green Bay doesn't. They've got a dominant defense mm-hmm. offensive line that you could say, fine. If the elements are going to be a problem, guess what we're going to do? We're going to run the ball down your damn throat.
Enjoy.
And good night, Charlie. What was the big knock of the Green Bay team's quarterback by Aaron Rodgers, right? For a long time, it was like, they don't have that workhorse back. They got Aaron Jones. Turned out, they ended up going whoop, 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 yep. NFC Championship games, right? Getting to the cusp of getting back to a Super Bowl. But if you don't have a dominant offensive line in those elements, it's going to be a tough, tough putt. I think for Detroit, though, you look at it, their two toughest road games in their division, they're 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they were like, if we can go to Minnesota, get it on their home turf. If we can go to Green Bay, get it on their home turf. They have to come back to us late in the season. And advantage, Detroit. They played like it yesterday.
Not too shabby. Nope. All right. Coming up next, we'll flip back to college football real quick.
Ooh.
Because there are a ton of games to get to, particularly in the Big Ten. Also, Georgia may win, but are there problems down in Athens? Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heading into the college football slate this weekend, it didn't look to be the most exciting set of games. Sure, you had Oregon traveling to the Big House locally. That one had some impact, but you look up and down the old score sheet and you went, that's an okay slate.
But that's the weekend that always gets drunk, Danny.
San Diego State, Boise State, we had that one on Friday night. It started slow for Ashton Jeanty, but he put the Jets on late.
Yeah, turns out he's really good. I mean, the game of the week, if we were looking at it, was Ohio State, Penn State. Mm-hmm. 3-4. Ohio State having to go on the road for a top five matchup again. And that game lived up to the hype, man. I mean, it was when it comes down to a fourth and goal stand by a defense, mm-hmm. yeah, pretty damn good game. And this time Ohio State came out on the other end of it. And I think that answered a lot of the questions that Ohio State has, especially because of the way their front seven on the defensive side played after not being a major impact against Oregon, right? Everybody's mm-hmm. like, where are they at? What is going on with those four defensive linemen that were so highly regarded heading into this season? They didn't show up, and largely they were silent against Oregon. Well, they ended up making the plays at the end of that game that saved Ohio State a chance to play in the Big Ten championship game. They control their own destiny too, to get to Indianapolis. They've got in 2 weeks an opportunity to play Indiana, and that's a big win for Ohio State. On the flip side, it answers no questions, raises even more about Penn State, James Franklin, and the ability to beat great teams. They can beat good teams. They can beat bad teams. Great teams, they can't beat.
I came out of that game thinking Ohio State's not as good as I think a lot of people have put them out to be. And I don't say that to like take away from Oregon's win. Their quarterback play is not good. It's just not good. Beyond that, Drew Aller, is he the most Penn State quarterback that's ever Penn State quarterbacked? He is. If a defense is remotely good, it just non-existent. And you can say Penn State's defense is great or Ohio State's defense is great and all these things.
Caleb Downs is a dude.
Drew Aller just. Anytime he gets up against anything above average, he completely disappears. And I don't necessarily fault James Franklin in that vein, other than they keep bringing in these quarterbacks that are these quarterbacks, whether it be the Christian Hackenbergs or the Durallers of the world. But I watched this game, and yes, it was a hotly contested game that it felt like something was just missing from both teams as far as being true competitors. And I don't think it came down to a coaching decision or coaching output or one coach or one staff out scheming the other. I think it came down to talent in the very end. And Ohio State has more talent on the other side of the ball, because the flip side of this is, as much as we're bashing James Franklin, or James Franklin's catching heat today for not being able to win the big one, Ryan Day and that staff, I mean, look, the win is the only thing that matters, but my God, that team's not that good. That Penn State team is a team that barely squeaked by a US team that we're laughing about right now. Like it's there's something about that team that Penn State team is a paper tiger, and I just don't know what to do with them.
I don't know why their two leading rushers did not get a rushing attempt at the end of the game. They had four downs inside the 3 yard line, and Tyler Warren did not get a touch. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Singleton did not get a touch. Riddle me that, Batman, as to why those two guys don't get a touch inside the goal line.
Also, why is your tight end your leading rusher?
Well, because they use him in
a
Swiss utility, Army knife, and yeah. You want to use him, get him the ball, yeah. Right? Like,
and he's 6'6", like 260. He's massive.
Might be a guy that would be useful inside the 3 yard line.
Yeah. Come on now.
Might want to use Tyler Warren. No. Might want to use him. Might want to use him inside the goal line. I don't know. That's just me, though. But
strategery.
Yeah, that strategery would have been good. But I do think that it will be interesting to see Ohio State, did they really fix something and find something? Because they moved their backup center to left guard, moved a guard out to tackle because they've got injuries that are going on there.
Yes.
And they did run the ball effectively. They run the ball for 179 yards at, you know, dang near 5 yards a clip. You know, it was a far cry from what we saw just a week ago where they looked like they were in shambles up front. And that was against a good front seven from Penn State.
Yeah, Abdul Carter was spent plenty of time partying in that backfield.
Yeah, but I'll be really interested to see kind of what Ohio State does moving forward, because it's not like their schedule is going to get exponentially more easy after their next two games. They play Purdue, Northwestern, and then they have Indiana and Michigan back-to-back games. Michigan is a one-dimensional offensive team. Their defense is good. Their defense is good, especially if they have their two starting corners, which they didn't have against Oregon this past weekend. They are good. Their defense can hold anybody in check, right? If Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant can have big games against an offensive line that's patchwork, I wouldn't be surprised in a rivalry game where even if one team is way, way, way behind the other as far as offensive production goes. We saw Oregon had one possession in the first quarter.
Yeah.
One. Now, Ryan Pelham, he fumbled a punt.
Oops.
And gave Michigan an extra possession there. But at the same time, that's what Michigan wants to do.
Yes. That's, and you're talking about a rivalry game. Those are the stupid things that happen.
Yeah. Like, and that right there will give them a chance. And then Indiana, man. Indiana, all they do is just kick the snot out of teams.
I was going to say that before we went to break. You want to do that, or you want to go to break and then...
I want to talk about Kurt Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers because they finally are starting to get a little bit more respect. They deserve more. They deserve more.
They do. You want to get that out of the
yes,
break?
All right, I do.
Coming up next, we will dive into the Google Me's of Indiana. But first, here's the big kahuna with the SportsCenter update.
Google me, bitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Indiana Hoosiers. They are officially a wagon.
Well, hey, actually, before we get to that, Pete Thamel of ESPN is reporting Oregon star receiver Tez Johnson's shoulder injury not considered season ending. He's expected to be back later this year. He's not expected to have surgery after the injury at Michigan, which knocked him out from the game and left him on the sideline in a sling. Okay. That's great news.
Semi-good news?
I think that's great news. I mean, if it is a shoulder, then it could be a AC joint. It could still be, you know, who knows, you know, if you break the clavicle, which is what some people were saying, like that puts you at like 6 to 8 weeks, which, I mean, I guess you're hoping your season's not over in six to eight weeks.
Yeah, Big Ten title game is in a month.
Yeah.
So if you win that and you get the bye, the earliest.
If you win the Big Ten title, you get the bye, then you're playing on the 29th of December, I believe.
So you're getting 7 weeks?
Yeah. All right. I mean, that's good news for
Feels like it's pushing it if there is any fracture there. That,
yeah. Yeah.
A little dicey.
All right. Well, hopefully he's in that regeneration chamber, Dragon Ball Z that you said.
Right? Look at you.
Well, I don't know. You just told me what that means, so I don't know.
Goku.
I don't know. Yep. Goku.
You usually got to pay extra for that.
Uh-oh.
Despite being undefeated and being a fantastic, fantastic all-around team, Curtis Rourke, quarterback for the Indiana Hoosiers, still not in the top five of Heisman Trophy winning candidates, which I don't know how that happens.
Plus 5,000.
That might be the best value on the board.
Yeah, yes, as far as value goes,
I mean, it's
100%.
Right now, the Hoosiers are now 9-0 after beating the Michigan State Spartans this weekend. They fall down 10-0 in the first quarter, and then they rattle off 47 unanswered points against Michigan State. Yes. 21, 12, and 14. They just kept scoring and scoring and scoring and scoring. It became the Monstars in Space Jam. Kind of lopsided, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just kept ringing up over and over, and there was nothing that could be done. And this isn't new.
Mm-mm.
This is a team that just scores and scores and scores. Oh, also, their defense is pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, and this is the thing that's crazy about it. Indiana's point differential on the season is plus 296. Plus 296. And at that point, you sit there and you go, all right, is that good? Well, that would be number one in the country. The next closest, Ole Miss, plus 260. They're 36 points better than Ole Miss, right?
Now, don't get me wrong. They've carved up some pumpkins in the beginning of their schedule.
And that's what I don't care about. Like, all right, right now, what they are, they're 9-0, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They also have won all nine games by 14 points or more.
Mm-hmm.
They just scored 47 unanswered points to beat Michigan State.
Their lowest scoring output on the season is 31, which they did against FIU in Washington. Otherwise, 41, 42, 47, and 56.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, 52 and 56. They just, and again, they the most points they've given up is 28 to Maryland.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a weird game.
Yeah, that was a weird game, but at the same time, those things happen mm-hmm. in the world of college football. Like, to put this in to perspective, it's like right now they're undefeated with the far and away best point differential in all of college football. If they were Ohio State and they had the exact same schedule and they had the exact same record,
they'd be number one in the polls, and he would be the Heisman candidate favorite.
When it would not be close. They'd be like, oh, look at what Curtis Rourke did against, you know, Western Illinois. They beat him 77-3. Mm-hmm. They took him to the woodshed, and they were relentless all game long. They've won every game by at least two touchdowns. Nobody's even sniffing them. Nobody's getting close to them. They're doing it at home. They're doing it on the road. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. What they're doing is just taking care of their business, and everybody would say, hey, you know what? This team is a juggernaut right now. But the fact that Kurt Cignetti didn't recruit a bunch of five-star guys because Indiana has never in their school's history been 9-0 before, because Indiana is a basketball school and they haven't had a top 25 opponent yet, they are not getting any credit. And look, I'm glad that they finally got bumped up in the rankings this week because mm-hmm. it was ridiculous to have them buried
outside the top 10.
As low as they were. Yeah. They moved 15th? Up 13th. Yeah. They moved up five spots, and they're finally eighth in the country right now.
They should be a top five team in the country.
They have taken care of the schedule in front of them. Mm-hmm. Have they been more impressive than Miami this year?
Yes.
Yeah. What is Miami? Who?
They've been the cardiac kids, with the exception of this weekend.
What team has Miami beat that tells you, yeah, that right there, that's a win you want to hang your hat on?
Cal.
Louisville.
Louisville's been their best win.
52-45. Damn near lost it. Okay? They almost lost to Virginia Tech. Okay? Hail Mary at the end of the game. Almost lost to Cal. Almost lost to Louisville. Okay? But they won. They won. Yeah.
And that's what matters.
They're going, Miami. They got a quarterback who's slinging it. So does Indiana.
Yeah, if you look, Rourke's numbers are nuts. He's averaging over 10 yards per throw. Not per completion, per throw.
That's pretty good.
He's got a 19-3 touchdown interception ratio. He's throwing for 2,200 yards. Remember, he's done this and he missed a game. While he was playing, he ended up playing a game, missing a bleeping thumbnail.
I will be interested to see, though, how Michigan plays this Indiana team.
Mm-hmm.
If they can drag them into we're going to muddy this mm-hmm. up and it's going to be a low-scoring game, Michigan will have a chance. They're going to need Will Johnson back. They're going to need to be at full strength. Hopefully Alex Orji running into that boom camera doesn't affect him.
Good God.
I still can't believe that.
That was straight up out of the Key and Peele skit of, like, you know, boom camera, Michigan. Just the player introduction tape, because he got trucked.
When that play happened, in a trick play on fourth down, what were you going to do?
Yeah.
You know,
you get a little weird.
You can't really throw the ball very effectively anyways. Oregon did a really good job in the low red area of taking Loveland away
mm-hmm.
as well, because on the touchdown pass where they threaded the needle in the back of the end zone with the crosser, I don't know if they mentioned this on TV, but Tysheem Johnson rode Loveland out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took him out of the play. And at that point, Davis Warren had to go, panic, scramble, delivered a dart touchdown, right? But they were taking, Oregon did a really good job taking him away in the low red area, so they did the trick play. When that happened, Jerry and Jorgie were up on, like, the broadcast booth is on that side of the stadium. Mm-hmm. I was in the back of the end zone. I saw it clear as day when Orgy was running and tracking the ball. I was like, oh, no.
Doesn't see it.
Like, it, that thing was so close to the sideline, mm-hmm. and the ball was way overthrown, and he was just trying to make a play. Kudos to Mateo Uyunglele, by the way, being in great position on that as a stand-up edge rusher.
Mm-hmm. Recognizing what was going on.
Recognized it and ran with Orgy. That was pretty good coverage by him. But when he ran into it, my mic was not live. I'm in the ear of Jerry and Jorgie, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God, he might be dead. Like, I was really worried.
It wasn't a full speed, but it was pretty damn close.
His face went into a bunch of 45-pound weights.
Oh, yeah, it's quite literally, folks, they don't know, it's a counterweight for the mm-hmm. big, giant camera boom that swings over. It's a jib that so the camera can go at whatever angle, and it's out at, like, 20 feet. So you've got to have a couple hundred pounds, hell, a couple thousand pounds on the back end of that thing.
He ran.
Ran smack dab into
face
it.
Face first into it, and he just crumbled, and I was like, oh. And they couldn't see it, and then they looked up and they saw the replay, and I felt bad because I was in there like, guys, this it could be serious.
Look, there's, it's not like when you run into somebody, like you run into another player at that speed, and even if they hit you, there's give.
There was not.
There's zero give in that. It probably didn't move a millimeter off mm-hmm. the ground because not only does it have those weights, it's got those big giant metal arms that they Dude. Crank down. So that it's supported.
That was terrifying.
I couldn't believe. I'm not going to lie. I'm a terrible person. The first thing I did was giggle. Because it was cartoon-esque because when he hit it, every last bit of momentum went from speed to stop.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a bong and you got the sound and he hits the ground. Like that, and it was like, oh no, is he okay?
Yikes, dog.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But anyway, back to Indiana.
Yeah.
If
Orgy's healthy, though, that opens up a dimension for Michigan to bleed the clock, keep mm-hmm. Rourke off the field.
But here's the thing. As good as that Indiana offense is, and they are damn good, mm-hmm. that defense, this weekend against Michigan State, 7 sacks, 15 tackles for loss.
Yeah, they get home.
Goodness gracious.
They get home.
Look, they play an aggressive offense, and they play an aggressive defense. They haven't played anybody yet who can capitalize on either of those.
Nope. They're 5th in tackles for loss, 4th in sacks, by the way.
Again, so they score a ton, and they get after your quarterback and put you behind the sticks endlessly.
Yep.
That, to me, strikes as a profile of a team that's really, really, really good.
Yeah, and very well coached, because they're not doing it with 4 and 5-star guys. They're doing it with a bunch of transfers who were looking for that opportunity, who'd been developed, grown, and never got the chance. And they are scary good right now. I'm glad that Indiana's getting the credit they finally deserve.
To me, it's the best story in college football this year.
Yeah, no doubt.
Easily.
No doubt.
All right, coming up next, a few news and notes coming out of the NFL weekend with some injuries. The Cowboys might be in even more trouble than they actually thought they were. Get to that and more as we finish with today's show here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trail Blazers. Brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
Portland Trail Blazers are going to take on a drastically shorthanded New Orleans Pelicans team tonight. CJ McCollum, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy III, all already out. Zion Williamson and Jordan Hawkins added to the injury report this morning. The more bad news keeps coming for the Pelicans because the Portland Trailblazers are likely getting Robert Williams III back from injury, nearly a year removed from knee surgery. He is slated to make his return tonight and return to action. Expect him to be on a very tight minutes restriction, 10 to 12 minutes, I would think, at most. Do not expect him to play any back-to-backs in the near future. Right now, the Portland Trailblazers are 2.5-point dogs, which kind of interesting considering this is a Pelicans team that the Trailblazers have already beaten. But we'll see if they can get one on the road here tonight. This Trailblazers Report on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15th and Broadway at AztecWillies.com. Cowboys are screwed. I mean, that's probably true before, this weekend?
Can we address the music being played right now on a Metal Monday?
Yeah.
Is this We Are the World?
Rest in peace, Quincy Jones.
Died
today at the age of 91.
91 years old yesterday.
Definitely would have thought Quincy Jones was already super dead.
Yeah, yeah. Quincy Jones, father of Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
Look.
From The Office and Parks and Rec.
Good job, Quincy Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Quincy Jones, his production credits.
Oh.
My God.
Numerous.
It is unbelievable. I went into like a vortex of Quincy Jones because he was in... So... It's my party, I can cry if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
You have Off the Wall, Bad, and Thriller. Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Fly Me to the Moon.
This man was producing albums as early as 1955.
But think of all the genres that he crossed over, though. I mean, whether it was R&B, jazz, pop. You had yacht rock to appease the great
Jeff Russ.
Yeah,
you got some George Benson in there, yeah. Lots of
Motown,
yacht rock.
Motown. He...
Shaka Khan, Nancy Wilson.
He was a part of everything,
orchestra.
Man.
Donna Summers, yeah. Dinah Washington, Aretha Franklin, Al Jarreau, Miles Davis.
I mean, just going...
Ray Charles.
Going back from 1956 on, Ray Charles, Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay.
I mean, it's Franklin.
He met Ray Charles when he was 14 years old in Seattle.
Good God.
Ray Charles was 16 years old. They met each other.
He met Ray Charles before he was blind?
Yeah, no, I watched a movie, Ray. That happened when he was a child. So not that long after Ray Charles was blind, though. But this is like, they met in Seattle, and their relationship kind of grew, and they were just musical savants, man. And it's amazing to see some of the stuff that he did. Like, the song, it's My Party, I Can Cry If I Want To. It was like a demo that was made. He got, what was her name? Lori Gore, who sang It's My Party, I Can Cry If I Want To. He found out through a big time music producer that there was going to be like a group that was going to sing that same song from the same record label.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at like an event, and he dipped out of the event and went straight to the office, made 100 copies of Gore's version of it, sent it out to all of the major stations across the country, and then like wrote a bunch of letters with them saying, hey, play this new song. So he got it out before the label could get one of their up-and-coming groups to sing it.
Mm.
And then he dipped out for like to Europe to do like a tour or something for somebody.
Came back
and was like, hope you're not mad. And they're like, why the hell would we be mad? It's the number one song in the country right now.
Yeah. So
all because he sniped the guy who was going to do it for his own group and was like, nope, you're not going to steal this one from me. This is a banger.
So as deep and wide as his catalog was in terms of, you know, what he represented, I felt We Are the World was kind of the most, you know, culturally significant and important. That's why I went with that.
You definitely could have gone with, like, I don't know, Bad or Thriller.
Yeah.
The entire album.
Yeah.
You know.
But to answer your question, Danny, yeah, that's why the Cowboys suck, man. Yeah. They're so screwed. Quincy Jones is dead.
There you go. For those that are wondering, hamstring gone for Dak. Yikes, dog.
They're not good. They're not good. I'm sure Cowboys fans appreciated that pivot.
Well, go ask Joe Fish when we're done.
Yeah.
And we went Quincy Jones instead. So
R.I.P. Quincy Jones.
Gun down in his prime.
Yeah.
To quote Ian Carmel.
I can't tell you how many Wikipedia links I clicked on going through him.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, his plethora of wives and children.
If you want to ever go down the producer rabbit hole, him, Babyface, and T-Pain.
And Timbaland, too.
And Timbaland. There you go. That was excellent. Thank you. Those guys, that might be the Mount Rushmore producers.
Well, and like it or not, the thing that I always crossed a line with Rashida Jones is from The Office when Michael Scott says, you're very exotic looking. Was your father a G.I.?
All right. That'll do it for us on a Monday. We'll be back Tuesday from noon to 3. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to yours. This is Prime Time with Us Good Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.